Welcome to Day of Destiny with Dr. Michelle Correll, author, prophetic teacher, and pastor of Breath of the Spirit Prophetic Word Center. Dr. Correll can be seen weekly, nationwide, and around the world on her weekly telecasts that air on God TV, Impact, and Word Network. Now, let's join Dr. Correll by experiencing Day of Destiny, designed with your highest destiny in mind. Now, here is Dr. Correll.
Hallelujah. Tonight we pray only Jesus is seen, only Jesus is heard. Tonight we're opening our Bibles, beloved saints, to 2 Corinthians. We're going to open tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to look at verse 3. Tonight I'm going to be speaking to you about disguised deception. And somebody ought to raise their hand right now and say, Lord Jesus, tonight I receive the anointing to discern any disguised deception in my life or any setup of the enemy that the enemy would do whatever he could to deceive me. I will not receive it. I will not be subject to it. God will open my eyes. I break and bind all demonic spirits that would seduce me into demonic deception, disguised deception. So open my eyes to a staged setup. In the name of Jesus, all disguised deception is under my feet in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to open with 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, where Paul says, But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, that the Bible says, so that your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. What I want to show you is the serpent being beguiled by Eve, or the serpent who beguiled Eve. Today we're going to speak about the master deception that is going out in the earth today. There are so many ways we get deceived by the enemy. And in these end times, God wants us to be so skilled in our discernment on how the enemy deceives us. Would you raise your hands right now and say this with me, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I claim that I will not fall under any disguised deception in Jesus' name. Let us go just for a moment so we understand disguised deception, because oftentimes the enemy uses a cover-up. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 30, and we will see in the scripture how the Bible is going to tell us Jezebel used cover-up. And this is one of the words for witchcraft in Hebrew is the word anan, which means to cover up. So God wants us to be so skilled in our discernment that we can spot a cover-up. Now, first of all, one of the things I want us to be aware of is being naive. We're in an hour that we cannot be naive. You know, the Oxford Dictionary explanation of naive means to be inexperienced in one's judgment, to be either inexperienced or to have inexperience in your judgment, in your perception. And we're living in a time now, we cannot be inexperienced in our perception or in our judgment. We need to have our minds set on Christ, and we need to have our discernment at the highest level. So we see, dear people of God, let's go to 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 30. The Bible tells us when Jehu was come to Jezreel, this is Jehu, not the prophet, but Jehu who took the place of, he's going to overthrow the kingdom of Ahab, Ahab being Jezebel's husband. The Bible says that when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it. And the Bible says she painted her face and tarred her hair and looked out a window. Now, this doesn't mean that any woman who wears makeup is a Jezebel, but this means that she used a cover-up. She used a disguise. And so often the enemy comes at us with a disguise. Put your hands up right now and say this with me. In the name of Jesus, my eyes are going to see every disguised deception that the enemy has waged against me. Hallelujah. So tonight I'm going to use a very unusual circumstance, a very unusual place in the Bible that shows a master deception. Because tonight we need to see that a master deception without the perception of evil can cause tremendous damage. Say this with me, master deception without the perception of the evil. See, there's deception that we need to be aware of and how the enemy operates, because the evil that comes forth from deception can cause so much damage in the body of Christ. And we can be deceived. Right now, we are living in a time of deception that is far beyond what we actually can really comprehend. We are living in a time of false prophets more than any other time that I can recall since I've known the Lord, and that's over 50 years. That in the 50 years of myself knowing the Lord and 49 years being behind the pulpit, and, of course, 47 years for Breath of the Spirit, but 49 years of preaching the gospel, and that's not exaggeration. That's not starting when I was 16 either. All right? So I want you to understand that it's been a long time, many years, that we have been through eras, two eras of Christianity, and we have never seen so much deception. I remember years ago, there was a preacher that overnight became really big, just overnight. And I had a dream when I went to sleep, and it was a dream of this hot air balloon. And the balloon exploded, and the preacher fell down. And that's exactly what happened to that preacher. And we have so many today that we need to beware of, and so many tactics the enemy uses to pull us into deception. So today I'm going to be speaking about the master deception without the perception of evil. If you and I cannot discern the evil, then we're not going to be able to pick up the damages, because the damages are so great. Are you understanding this, saints? Go with me, please, to John's Gospel and the 8th chapter and the 44th verse. John's Gospel, the 8th chapter and the 44th verse. The Bible says, Jesus said, "But you are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. For he was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks the lie, a lie, he speaks it of his own, and he is the father of it." So you and I need to understand that the enemy is the father of lies. Say this with me. The enemy is the father of lies. So he only operates in deception. That's the only realm he operates. And one of the ways that deception is released is through a disguise. Something that's covered up. We don't know it's deception, because if we really know it's deception, then we wouldn't walk into it. If we knew that it was a seducing spirit. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly." Let's go there, please, and look at it in our word. The Bible says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy." Say this with me. I don't want any lies in hypocrisy. So one of the ways we're going to be able to discern a spirit is lies that are in hypocrisy. Hypocrisy meaning looking like one thing, but it's really another. Say this with me. Looking like one thing, but it's really another. We need to understand what deception is all about and what a disguised deception is. A disguise is a mask. It's a mask that makes something look a certain way, but it's really something else. Or masks are used to hide identities. Say this with me. A mask is used to hide an identity. Say this with me. It's a cover-up. But put your hands up right now and say, I'm going to see every cover-up. Every spirit that the enemy wants to do to deceive me out of my destiny in this hour. Say this with me. My eyes are open in the name of Jesus against every deception. In Jesus' name, now give God the praise and give God the glory. It is a subtle seduction, and it's an ungodly alliance, dear people of God. It's a misperception. And this is why the Bible says speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. This means deception begins without a conscience. We're no longer able to be convicted by the Holy Spirit. Are you following me? And the whole background of deception is calling good evil and evil good. Put your hands up right now and say, in the name of Jesus, I will not call evil good and good evil. Oh, my goodness. I hope we're hearing this today, saints. Hallelujah. I'm going to share with you three major places where we can see from the Word of God. And one of those places I was quite shocked that the Holy Spirit wants us to see. But this is for our own good tonight. I don't want anyone to think I'm being extremely harsh. I want everyone to understand how much I love everyone in this place and how we all love one another. But as a pastor, I have the responsibility to unveil the mask. As a pastor, I have a responsibility to tell it like it is. I'm not here to please people. I'm here to please the Lord. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. And so tonight we need to look at speaking lies in hypocrisy. Let's look at one of the places. Now, the Bible tells us in the gospel according to Matthew, the 24th chapter, that in the last days, one of the signs is going to be the false prophets. The Bible says that even so much that if it were possible, the very elect of God will be deceived. I'm going to show you three examples in the Word of God where the elect of God are going to be deceived. All right, the first one is Joshua. Who would ever think that Joshua would be deceived by disguised deception? But say this with me. Joshua, who walked with Moses, who was his servant, who took his place, got deceived by a master deception. And then the second one we're going to see is King Jehoshaphat, or King Jehoshaphat. Say it with me. King Jehoshaphat. King Jehoshaphat. Say it. King Jehoshaphat. Okay, King Jehoshaphat is also known as Jehoshaphat, the most righteous of kings. I want you to know in the Davidic line, King Jehoshaphat, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 17 and the third verse, the Bible tells us that God gave him honor and riches in abundance. And he walked in the first ways of David his father. When the Bible says first ways of David his father, the Bible isn't just telling us like it does Hezekiah. It says he walked in the ways of David his father. And we see others that walked in the line of King David. They walked in the ways of David, their father. But it never says, walked in the first ways of David, his father. Yet the Bible goes out of its way to tell us this extraordinary kindness and godliness that Jehoshaphat had. 2 Chronicles 17, verse 3, and the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the first ways of David his father, and he sought not unto Balaam. Are you hearing me? So the first one is Joshua. The second one is Jehoshaphat. And the third one is going to be King David himself, who is going to be deceived by his nephew, whose name is Yonadab. Say it with me, Yonadab. And tonight I'm going to speak to you about deliverance from a Yonadab spirit, because tonight we're going to get delivered from subtle seduction. Put your hands up and say this with me, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to be deceived in end time deception. Lord God, show me how I can get allured in and help the mask. Help me see the mask that is deceiving the people. Reveal to me the task of unveiling the mask of master deception in the name of Jesus tonight. In the name of Jesus, release the truth. In the name of Jesus, make us of one accord. In the name of Jesus, we put under subjection all minds and all thoughts to be one with the Spirit of God tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. All right. So we're going to begin with the first one, Joshua. Let us go to Joshua chapter 9, and we're going to be looking at verses 3 through 6. We're going to see that Joshua is going to be deceived by the Gibeonites. And this is very powerful, because when we see how Joshua, the man of God, was deceived, we'll also understand how Hananiah, the prophet, who's a false prophet, operated in the time of Jeremiah. Do you realize in the time of Jeremiah really is a prophetic prefiguring of a time, the time before the end? Say it with me, Jeremiah's prophecy and Jeremiah's career is a prophetic prefiguring of end times. I hope we're hearing this. And the entire city of Jerusalem was filled with false prophets. And one of the most famous of all false prophets was a prophet by the name of Hananiah. And Hananiah's prophecy, the Bible begins, and we're staying here in Joshua. In Jeremiah chapter 28, it tells us that Hananiah, the son of Azur the prophet. So he's actually a son of the prophets. And the Bible tells us Azur the prophet, because why? Hananiah knew the style. He knew how to look like a prophet. He knew how to pose as a prophet. He knew the walk and he knew the talk. So it was easy to be deceived by a master deceiver. Are you following me? If you are, say amen. Amen. Let's look first and see how Joshua was deceived. The Bible tells us, and when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard that what Joshua had done at Jericho and to Ai, verse 4, they did work willingly. What does that mean? It means that the inhabitants took upon themselves tremendous craftiness. The Gibeonites worked willily. This is a King James word for craftiness. And the Bible says, and they went and made it as if. Turn to your neighbor and say, you better be careful. When something looks like it is one thing, but it's really something else. Say this with me. What you see is not what you get. Hello, somebody. I hope everybody's hearing this. Hallelujah. And so we see that the Bible says that they went and made it as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their donkeys and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up. They made the wine bottles look old. They took their old sacks upon their donkeys. Everything looked old. Everything looked worn out. Everything looked all bound up. Notice the next verse, verse 5. And they wore old shoes and clouted upon their feet, old garments upon them. And all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. Are you hearing this? So you might say, why did they do this? Because they're going to tell Joshua that they'd been, they are not inhabitants of Canaan. They're going to tell Joshua that they're from an old country. They're going to tell Joshua they'd been traveling for days, but they were Canaanites. They lived in the land. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I pray you are sensitive enough to know when there's disguised deception operating. Notice, they looked like they were from, totally looked like they were not from Canaan. Because they made sure the bread was moldy, the bread was dry, they wore old garments, that their shoes were worn out, so they used on their feet tied up rags. So it would look like their shoes were worn out. Because they were going to come to Joshua and tell Joshua that they came from a far country and they weren't Canaanites, so don't kill us. Are you hearing this? Because Joshua was given the mandate of heaven to destroy the Canaanites. Are you hearing this? And so they came with their master deception plan. Verse 6. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal and said unto him, to the men of Israel, we come from a far country. Now, therefore, make a treaty with us. Make a league with us. They wanted a covenant so that when Joshua began to conquer the land of Canaan, he would not conquer the Gibeonites. Are you hearing this? They were using a cover-up. They were using a disguise. Say this with me. Lord God, give me discernment to see the disguise behind the motive. Hallelujah. Say, it's a motive. When someone's wearing a mask, it's spiritually synonymous with the wrong motive. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. And so the Bible tells us, we've been from a far country. Now make a covenant with us. Do you know what? Joshua made a covenant with them. And Joshua found out they were lying. Do you know what Joshua did? Joshua didn't murder them. Joshua didn't drive them out because he gave them a word. And to Joshua, his word was his word. Are you following me? Turn to your neighbor and say, be careful because there are consequences of deception. Turn to your neighbor and say, I don't want to be responsible for misperception because of deception. Because there are consequences. And now the consequences are going to be that for the rest of Israel's history, the Gibeonites cannot be driven out. God said to drive every one of them out. Some of us would say, well, God knows our heart. God does know our heart, but he expects us to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. And at the time, we ought to be teachers. We have need that one teach us again the first principles of the oracles of faith. Are you hearing this? So put your hands up right now and say, I'm not going to fall into disguised deception. I'm going to see through the mask. Hallelujah. The second supernatural secret of disguised deception we are going to find in 2 Chronicles. Let us go to 2 Chronicles chapter 19. In 2 Chronicles chapter 19, we are going to see how Jehoshaphat, the righteous Jehoshaphat, is going to get deceived by a disguise. Are you with me? Amen. Oh my. Go with me to 2 Chronicles. And we are going to look, beloved saints, it's actually in the 18th chapter. And 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 28. Now, the reason why Jehoshaphat fell into deception is he had a burning desire to unite the northern kingdom with the southern kingdom. Because for centuries, since Rehoboam, they had not worked together. Turn to your neighbor and say, beware of your own emotions. And make sure that everything in your heart is already tested by the Spirit of God. Because Jeremiah tells us that the human heart is wicked. And there's ability within us to be wrong. Turn to your neighbor and say, I can't afford to be wrong. I can't afford to be taken up out of my land. Do you know what Jeremiah chapter 27, verse 10 tells us? False prophets will cause you to lose your land. They only prophesy to you to take you out of your land. Are you hearing this? We go to a false prophet, get ready for you to go down. Subtly, slowly, so you don't recognize it. It's like poison. Getting just a little bit of poison every day. A little bit of poison. Until finally we find ourselves completely contaminated. We can't function anymore. Are you all understanding what we're talking about? A little dose of compromise, a little dose of evil. And so the Bible tells us that for Jehoshaphat, his weakness was to unite the north and the south. He wanted to be the king to mend all of the divisions. Good idea. Good purpose. Very good intention. There's just one problem. Jezebel is married to the king of Israel. Hello, I said Jezebel was married to the king of Israel. What's wrong with Jehoshaphat? Can he see? What's wrong with Jehoshaphat that now he is saying, we're going to go to war together. This is the first time this is going to happen since the days of Solomon, since the days of Rehoboam. We want to join together in a war. Tell your neighbor, what does light have with darkness? What fellowship does light have with darkness? Do you realize? Every one of you have been given a position in Christ. Many of us have been given ministries and platforms. Our platforms are to be used for good. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not loaning my influence to the devil. I said, I'm not loaning my influence to the enemy. Come on, put your hands up. Say, I'm not going to join in an ungodly agreement. We have to be responsible for our position. The days of rubbing elbows with the enemy is over. I don't know what that saying is, but it's something like that. All right. Someone will tell me after the service what that was. I don't know. Terry Calderon will tell me after the service. She always does. I always get those little things wrong. But I know it's something like that. The days of being with the enemy, thinking it's all right. And just because we have some kind of a thing in our personality where we don't want people hurt. Hello, somebody. When their decision and when their attitudes are wrong and they want you to be joining with something that's wrong and they say, please come and join with me. Come and join with me. And because it looks good and it seems to be okay, there's no problem with it because it looks good. The Bible is very strong about it, and I will share that with you from 1 Corinthians 16 in a moment. I want you to see it. But the Bible tells us, and the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. Watch this. And the Bible says, and the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and go into the battle. But you put on your robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself, turned to your neighbor and say, master deception. Wearing a disguise. It looks like one thing, but it's really another. Okay, he disguised himself and went into the battle. Now let me just tell you, he's very, very blatant about it. He doesn't have any shame. He's telling Jehoshaphat, you wear your kingly robes, and I'm going to disguise myself. Why did he want to disguise himself? Because he knew that the Syrians would go for the king of Israel, number one. That the Syrians did not have the expert intelligence operating in their military operation to know that the north and the south are finally united. And Ahab knew that. So he was setting Jehoshaphat up for a murder. Do you understand? He was setting him up for a downfall. Say this with me. I cannot afford to make an ungodly agreement with the enemy. Hallelujah. And so the Bible tells us, I mean, how much more blatant can you be? You put your robes on, but I'm going to disguise myself. That's like saying, go down into the valley, and when the Syrians see you, they're going to shoot their arrows at you, but they're not going to shoot the arrows at me because they don't know I'm the king. Do you see that? Watch the next verse. This is contextual. Say it with me, contextual. So the Bible is going to show us the motives of Ahab. Now, the king of Syria had commanded the captains of the chariots that were with him, saying, fight ye not with the small or the great, but only with the king of Israel. So if they don't know who the king of Israel is, the king of Israel has disguised himself. The setup is already staged. That Jehoshaphat's going to be it. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be like Jehoshaphat and be so naive that you can't see the enemy. The time has come that we cannot afford being naive anymore. We've got to be skilled and understanding and not clueless about the enemy. Turn to your neighbor and say, no more clueless. Okay? It's not cute anymore. Okay? People used to think, oh, they're so sweet. They don't know. Child, you better know. Because once you're dealing with witchcraft, and anything that's disguised deception is witchcraft. Turn to your neighbor and say, anything that's disguised deception is witchcraft. The Bible tells us, next verse, the Bible tells us, and it came to pass when the captains in the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, this is the king of Israel. Therefore, they compassed him about to fight. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him. And God moved them to depart from him. Everybody thinks, well, now he got off scot-free. But not so. He went back in peace. He went back to his house in peace and just thought everything was hunky-dory. But the Lord sent a prophet. The prophet Jehu, the son of Hanani. Not the king Jehu, but the prophet Jehu. And he said, will you love those that hate the Lord? Hello? Will you be in agreement with those that are not in agreement with what God's plan is? Will you add to the disagreement? Say this with me. When I put my influence behind something I know is wrong, then I've added agreement to it. Come on. Say, when I put my influence behind something that I know is wrong, then I am now in agreement with that thing. Say this with me, no more being naive. Because it's not going to work in the end times. And the Bible tells us, going down to chapter 19, looking at chapter 19, verse 2. Verse 1 says, the king of Judah returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem, thinking everything's wonderful. God delivered me from almost being killed. I went to war with Ahab. You know, Ahab got wiped out. Ahab is no more because he set me up. God took him out. Everything's wonderful now. You would think he would see through it. But he's never got delivered. Jehoshaphat never got delivered. He died with disguised deception. Turn to your neighbor and say, know yourself. Know your weakness and put guards up. Say, take it to the cross. Are you hearing me? I said, the man of God, Jehoshaphat, died in deception. Because you know what? Joram, the son, and the sons that took the place. The Bible tells us, if we look at the scripture, the Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and if we go and look at, verse 35, Ahaziah was also a son of Jezebel and Ahab. And the Bible says in verse 35, after this did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziah, the king of Israel. And the Bible says, who did very wickedly. Ahaziah was guided very wickedly. And the Bible says in verse 36, and he joined himself with him. He didn't learn his lesson. Turn to your neighbor and say, I don't have to learn this lesson twice. I've already been around this mountain. I'm not going to go around it again. Tell your neighbor, please pray for me to get a clue. And he joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish. And they made the ships in Ezion Geber. And Eliezer, the son of Dodavah of Maharash, prophesied against Jehoshaphat. My goodness. Saying, because you have joined yourself with Ahaziah, the Lord has broken your works, oh God. Turn to your neighbor and say, I can't afford to lose my ministry because I joined with something that was not God. Over a whim. Something God never laid it on your heart. God never put it on your heart. This is not something God called you to do. This is something you just took on yourself. Some of us wonder, we might be sleeping with the enemy and not even know it. I said, you may be sleeping with the enemy and not even know it. Are you hearing me? That means in your own house, you could have taken in a deceiver. And you wonder why everything's going down, because you're not trusting the Lord and you're trusting something that is not from God. Read the script. Turn to your neighbor and say, I have to trace this thing and when all the trouble started. Okay, trace it back, okay? Just look at it. When did all the trouble start? There's a little root somewhere. Tell your neighbor, get rid of the root. Remove the root. The Bible says, because you joined yourself with Ahaziah, the Lord has broken up your works. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's not a light thing to have the works of God broken up over nonsense. He couldn't learn. First, he joins himself with an affinity with Ahab. The Bible says, if we look at the deception of end times prophetically prefigured in the Hebrew scriptures, showing for us in chapter 18, all of this praise, all of this wonderful exhortation that the Bible is giving us, and all of this wonderful works that Jehoshaphat has done for the Lord, walking in the first ways of David his father, such a pure heart. Getting deceived over something in the flesh. And why is he deceived? Because he so wants the North to be united with the South. Good idea. But there's just one problem. All the kings of the North walked in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. There's just one problem. They won't go to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. They refuse to worship in Jerusalem. They refuse to worship God where he has ordained. So they set up convenience centers. I said convenience centers out of the will of God and set up golden calves, one in Dan and one in Bethel. And set up mock feasts and said, it's too much for you, O Jerusalem, or it's too much for you, O Israel, for you to go up and worship the Lord at Jerusalem. Behold your gods that delivered you out of the hands of the Egyptians. I've got a wonderful setup for you. You don't have to sacrifice. You can just be right here in the north and compromise. Comfy, cozy, and compromise. You don't need to go up to the house of David. This wasn't an act of kindness. This was done deliberately because Jeroboam said in his heart, I want you to know, it doesn't say he told anyone. It says he said in his heart because God reads our heart. So he knows our thoughts and he knows the motives. I, the Lord, search the hearts and I try the reins to give every man according to his works and according to the fruit of his doings. And so, the master deception began with Jehoshaphat because he allowed himself. Ahab was so wicked, he not only continued in the sins of Jeroboam, who said in his heart, now the children of Israel, all these people in the 10 tribes who've been joined to me, if they go up to Jerusalem during the feast, their hearts will be turned again to Solomon and to David. They'll go again to Rehoboam. So I have to think of a method to keep them up here. The enemy will do whatever he can to keep you out of God's will. Turn to your neighbor and say, no more sidetracking out of God's will. I'm not naive anymore. Come on. I'm not naive anymore, and I can't blame God and blame that whatever the enemy is telling me. Sometimes we create our own crisis. We create our own crisis because we've allowed deception into our homes. We allow what we know is not right, but we compromise it for some dumb idea, thinking that maybe this person can help me. I'm going to tell you something. Sin cannot help you, and Lashon Hara cannot help you. Speaking against your neighbor cannot help you. Deception cannot help you. Hallelujah. Almost done. And so we see that he joined together with Ahab because he wanted to be the first king. How wonderful it would be if after all these years, the north and the south finally felt like brothers. Kings of Judah joined again with kings of Israel. So Ahab had a plan. Jehoshaphat didn't need to join with Ahab. He had riches and honor and abundance. And he joined an affinity with him. Second Chronicles chapter 18, verse 1. So we've seen Joshua and the Gibeonites. We've seen Jehoshaphat and Ahab, disguised deception. I'm going to close with the third one. The spirit of Jonadab. Go with me to 2 Samuel. One of the most uncomfortable scriptures, passages of scripture. But I'm so glad the Bible doesn't compromise just to make us feel comfortable. And God's word is never candy-coated. Sometimes there are uncomfortable situations because God wants us to know that he understands our personal pain. And no matter how uncomfortable it is to read 2 Samuel 13, there is more than just reading a newspaper. The prophets Gad and Nathan wrote 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel teaches us in 2 Samuel 13 areas of deception without the perception of damage that can lead to a disaster. And here we are going to see, if we look at 2 Samuel chapter 13, let's go there just for a moment. Before, we don't need to look at what happened to Tamar. That's not our subject matter tonight. The subject matter is the spirit of Jonadab. The Bible says, and it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed, so now we understand there's a major problem here. He was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar. Going down to verse 3. And Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, and the son of Shimeah, David's brother. Why is the Bible telling us he had a friend named Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother? Why doesn't the Torah just come out and say he's his cousin? The Bible's telling us he's his friend, because the Bible wants us to know they're very much alike. They operate with the same mindset. They're partners in wickedness. Are you hearing me? And Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. What we need to understand about this word subtle, it is the same word as the word crafty. Some people are very smart, but the intelligence that they have and the skilled craft that they have is used for evil, not for good. And in this case, Jonadab was a very subtle man. And the Bible says, if we look at it, and he said, "Why are you, being the king's son, lean from day to day?" Why does the Bible say that? He knows he's the king's son. Because the Bible is telling us right from the beginning, when he says, "Why are you, the king's son, lean from day to day?" Meaning, he's using flattery, being the king's son. He's using flattery, and oftentimes, one of the characteristics of flattery is entitlement. When we feel entitled this way, Jonadab is making Amnon feel extremely entitled, that what is his is really, that what is really not his is really his. So often people justify wicked behavior with entitlement. I deserve this. This is mine. What's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine. Hello, I said what's mine is mine and what's yours is mine. This is evil. This is exceedingly wicked. And what's mediocre is what's mine is mine and what's yours is yours. But what is really righteous is what's mine is mine and what's mine is yours and what's yours is yours. That's a righteous person. Are you hearing me? But he's using flattery. He's using flattery to make Jonadab feel that he's entitled to whatever he wants to do because he's the king's son. And so we see that he's going to give him advice. And he said, "Why are you, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Will you not tell me?" And then he tells him in verse 5, and Jonadab said, "Lay down on the bed and make yourself sick." So in other words, he's saying, stage your sickness. Because your father's going to come into the room And your father is going to ask how you are. You are going to stage your sickness. I want you to know one of the ways that the enemy is going to deceive us or has deceived some of us is when there is a setup for staged sympathy. Say it with me, a setup for staged sympathy. That means somebody needs sympathy, and the only way they can manipulate is by you feeling sorry for them. Turn to your neighbor and say, a serpent doesn't always hiss outside. Sometimes a serpent will seduce you into believing something that's not true. Say this with me. I will not fall for a setup or for a staged setup for sympathy that's ungodly. Feel sorry for me. Look at, I'm sick, Dad. Sick on my bed. I'm so sick I can't move. I've lost weight because he's going to manipulate his father. And his father's going to fall for it hook, line, and sinker because David had a weakness and that was for his children. Not in a godly way. He felt guilty. He felt so guilty. And so he's going to overcompensate. And in this case, it's dangerous because he bought all of his children homes in a place around his palace. And this was one king of Israel that truly loved his children. He visited them every day as the king. And he let no one sit at his children's table, not even the prime minister, not even Joab. No one could sit at the table of King David's children. And when he gave Mephibosheth that privilege, it was a very great honor. And so his son is going to stage an illness. David's going to come in. He's going to see him thin. And he's going to say, I'm so weak, I can't eat. And the Bible says you're going to make yourself sick. And when your father comes to you, you will say to him, now you're going to lie to your father. You will say to him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight that I might see it. In other words, I need to see the food, then I'll get hungry, you know, then I'll be able to eat. Because he wanted to trap his sister. Are you hearing this? And his father is going to fall for it hook, line, and sinker. His father's going to break the rules and going to allow the brothers to come in because this was custom in Israel, girls with girls and men with men. Are you hearing me? It's still like that in the Middle East. And so he's going to break this because he's feels so terrible that Amnon can't eat. It's a Yonadab spirit. A Yonadab spirit that stages sympathy. Put your hands up right now and say, there will be no Yonadab spirit that will set me up for deception. There will be no Yonadab spirit that will stage sympathy so that I can fall into a trap. In the name of Jesus, I will see it like it is. I will see the mass deception and the cover-up.
Thank you for joining us today on Day of Destiny. We invite you to our website at mydayofdestiny.com, where you can easily access other podcasts and obtain your copy of Dr. Corral's latest book, Secrets of the Anointing. Also, we want to take this moment to invite you to engage in extending your hand of kindness by planting your seed or offering for multitudes that include orphans, providing water wells, providing medical supplies, clinics, feeding programs, and many other services to the suffering church and through efforts of evangelism worldwide. Just go to our website and click the donate button or text to give. Text HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D to 7797. That's HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D to 7797. You are also invited to visit Dr. Michelle Corral Facebook or Instagram. We look forward to having you encounter the anointing with us on our next Day of Destiny podcast.